And so if you add up the top five militaries in the world right now, it only comes to 7 million soldiers. And I know you can quickly increase those numbers by reserve troops, and you could do a draft and quickly increase them, but seven is far away from 200, right?
Sure.
Just to get to that number would take a lot. If you add up the top 10 militaries in the world right now, you only come out to 9.9 million troops. That's top 10.
Fearless Conversations, the Servants and Doves podcast with Pablo Frassini.
People want to know. They don't want to hear me. They want to know how Pastor Jason's doing. So let them know.
Hopefully they want to hear both of us. I know for sure they do want to hear you. That's why they're on this channel. But good. I don't know. Like I said, we were talking before, excited, overwhelmed, good, bad, you know, all kind of everything all at once, which to me, that's kind of how ministry is most of the time. There's just, it's a lot of emotions and a lot of kind of ups and downs at the same time. And with things happening with people in our fellowship, with what God's doing here, as well as, you know, you take that and look at what's happening in the world and Israel, but also all of the other stuff that we're continuing to watch and look at, pay attention to what's happening biblically, prophetically. It can be overwhelming, man. So praise God that we have His Word, that He tells us what is going to happen, and He tells us who He is and how He wants us to live, and He gives us the answer to be able to live during this time. And at the same time, so it's like, overwhelming, good, bad, cheering, crying. I don't know, good, but at the same time, and I've heard this before, I've said this before, I believe it. What an honor and privilege it is for you and me and every other believer watching this right now to live during this time. Yeah. So overwhelming sometimes, yes, but awesome to live during this time and see the things that we're seeing, yes, as well, both at the same time.
Absolutely.
We're not this coming Wednesday, but the Wednesday after that, we're starting a Wednesday night service at our church, so I'm excited about that. Cool. More opportunity to get the word out, and just other events and things coming up at our church that I'm prayerfully looking forward to, and to get the gospel out and to get the word of God out. So
Amen. It's
going well.
That's great. You're busy, dude. I think we had mentioned on the last one we did that you were going to start that Wednesday night Bible study, which I think is fantastic. Listen, I forgot to say really quick, if you guys are on here, please don't forget to subscribe and to hit the notification and like it, because that's the way we get the messages out. Try to beat YT at their own game. You know what I mean? Which it is. It's a ridiculous little game. But anyways, let me see if I could just get through this real quick, because you just mentioned your church. I'm going to, you know, I was putting a video up in front, but I think I'm just going to kind of do this on the fly, folks. By the way, we're down here on the left-hand side. If you want to go to the Serpents and Doves website and sign up for the e-newsletter, you could do that. And I'm going to be doing a video fairly soon. It might be out by the time this comes out. Put your email there and just hit send, and we'll go ahead and get that link out to you guys as well. So other thing is, I've got to get up here and still keep this thing updated. If you guys want the gospel cards, which are fabulous, I would encourage you guys to check those out. And if you feel led of the Lord to help support the ministry, which helps as well, you could just click there on the donate button, and there you go. But your church family, the link for their church is below too in the description, Sunshine Church. I would encourage you guys, go check out Pastor Jason's website and the church website there. Lot of resources. So you guys are starting a Bible study, or did you already start it? Sundays, right there, Genesis.
We started Genesis. We'll be finishing, we just finished chapter one this past week. So
nice.
We'll start chapter two next week. Yeah.
Wait till chapter three. That's where things get
Wait till
really
chapter three, man.
So that's cool. So folks, listen, if you're in the Berlin area over in New Mexico, please, by all means, stop by and say hi to Pastor Jason, his wife, lovely family, and the church family. They are fantastic. So, with that said, brother, I say we just start, man, because you and I are notorious for getting on subjects and rabbit trails, which I love. I could totally do that, like rabbit trail episode one, rabbit trail episode two. But there's a lot to talk about.
Stay focused. We got to stay focused.
We got to stay focused. So listen, I hit you up and I said, hey, how about we talk about the fifth and sixth trumpet? Because there seems to be a little bit of misconception when it comes to the 200 million army, And they conflate oftentimes, I've heard in the past, Revelation chapter 16, right, with the kings of the east. It's almost like somehow, some way, along the way, those two kind of got mixed up and muddied together, and that's not the case. They are two very, very separate and distinct events. They don't even live within the same judgments. So I thought you and I could go ahead and just literally have a conversation about Revelation chapter 9. Family, if you guys want to turn to Revelation chapter 9, we could go ahead and do that. I'll put it right up here. Again, we are down here at the bottom left-hand side of your screen, all nice and tiny and little. But I didn't know if you wanted to read this. This is from the Amplified. Are you able to see that, or is it too little?
Yeah, I can see it.
You can read it.
What is this, an eye doctor appointment, or what are we doing here?
Okay, just read the top line. Cover your left eye. So wait, what version are you going to be reading from?
I can see the screen, but I have in front of me, I have New King James.
Okay, well, tell you what. I could put the New King James on here if you want. That way you could read from it. So if you just give me a second, I will go ahead and put the New King James. And there you go, my man. There it is. So if you want to read from your Bible, folks could follow along here too.
What? How much are we doing?
Just read the fifth trumpet. Let's read. No. Read the whole fifth trumpet, man.
Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Verse 4. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. And they had breastplates like the breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. Verse 10. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things.
So, as you were reading that, I want to show everybody, and I'm typing this in right now because I want to show you guys. There was a movie that came out. Now, I'm not saying for you guys to go watch this. I watched this. It's not like it's a terrible movie, but there's a movie called The Tomorrow War. This is from IMDb right here. It's called The Tomorrow War. And essentially what it was is an alien movie, right? Aliens come, they take over, and pretty much want to wipe out planet Earth. I'm going to show you guys a picture of the aliens in this movie. Now, in a past podcast, previous podcast I had done, I had showed how some of these aliens start to all look the same. You can kind of see a clip there, right? But let me go ahead and show you all what this alien creature in this movie looks like. So, interestingly enough, right, as I'm reading and as we're reading, chapter 9, and they're talking about these nasty looking things coming, you know, out of the abyss. And they describe them there. But I found this interesting that these things here have like the front of these things, they look like praying mantis legs, right? If we look right there, they look like the legs of a praying mantis. So it's like a combination of some weird sort of animal. And when we read back in, if we go back here and we read how they were given power to do what? To torment. Let me go back to the Amplified version real quick because I thought this was great. It says here that in verse 3, then out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth, and power, and I love what it says there, power to what? To hurt was given to them. So that tells me demons right now, as it stands, and Pastor Jason, I want to get your take on this. As it stands now, they cannot do anything without God's stamp of approval, correct?
Amen. Amen. So,
Jump in.
Just, you know, obviously you think of Job right away. And so if Satan could only act with God's approval or God's, you know, God, okay, you can do this, this, and that, but you can't touch his soul. How much more demons?
That's right.
You know, I mean, if the leader has to get permission, they have to get permission. So, amen to what you said on that.
So, which is good. So they were given that power to hurt them, like the power which the earth's scorpions have. Now, these aren't going to be tiny little things. And I think that's one of the reasons why I wanted to go over here and show you guys this nasty looking thing, right? Because as much as this is a human rendering, an artistic rendering of what people might think a nasty alien looks like, there's the size of a man. You see the size of the man there? And the size of this thing here, right? I would imagine that the demons are going to be somewhat about that size. I can't be dogmatic about that. Some people be like, man, you might be off your rocker. Maybe, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is that these demons, and I want to make sure that we keep in mind that here we have one demon, as we see in verse 1, right? It's an angelic being. I saw a star right there, an angelic being that had fallen from heaven to the earth, and the key of the bottomless pit, the abyss, was given to them. And interestingly enough, that fifth trumpet and sixth trumpet, you have a demon in charge of allowing these to come out. And then in the sixth trumpet, right, we have a demon, not one demon. We have four demons that are in charge of the 200 million army. But dude, let me throw something out there to you, and I want you to talk on this. I've never got stung by a scorpion. I pray I never do. I don't know. Have you?
No.
What's the worst thing you ever got stung by, dude?
Just like a wasp or something. Not
okay, that's
got
to be pain. Yeah. How did that feel?
Yeah. I hated it. I don't even remember the last time I got stung by a wasp. But yeah, you just instantly start flapping your arms around and hitting yourself where you hurt.
Yeah.
So, you know, you know what though? When I moved from Michigan to New Mexico, scorpions did cross my mind for the first time, because in Michigan there's no scorpions. They're not
right.
That I had know of, and I never saw any. But coming to New Mexico initially I came to Arizona, I'm like, man, are there going to be scorpions there? And sure enough, one of my coworkers was like, yeah, I saw, and he still had it. He's like, come and look, there's a little scorpion here. He caught a little scorpion and put it in like a a little container with sand in it. So, I don't know. I don't like the picture you put up there. I'm glad we're not going to be here for all that
right?
stuff. And, I can't imagine what this sting is going to be like. And maybe I'm jumping ahead here, but if we
go ahead.
1 through 12, the fifth trumpet, basically, it says, the sting of these demons, it's not to kill people, it's to hurt them. And if you notice in verse 6, it says, men will seek death. They'll want to die and they will not find it. And then it repeats the same phrase right away. They will desire to die and death will flee from them.
Yeah.
Like how much, so it's going to hurt so bad that people are going to want to kill themselves, but they won't be able to. That'll be part of the judgment that God is going to bring. I can't imagine it. And no, it's not going to be like when I got stung by a wasp, for sure.
and I think one of the reasons why I brought that up is because I'm thinking, dude, what could we compare something tiny, tiny, tiny that's extremely painful, right? I thought, okay, you brought that up. The wasp, a bee sting can be as well. And I just, look, not to gross anybody out, but I got to just show you guys really quick. So, Pastor Jason, just bear with me because I like visuals, right? I like us to envision sometimes the things that we read in Scripture, because oftentimes it's easy for us to just read, plow through, and give no thought and just go, man, praise God, I'm not going to be here. Stinks for those that are going to be here. See ya, right? But if we really understood, I think if we really comprehended how bad things are going to get, we really wouldn't want anybody to be left behind. And we really would stop going, man, you know what? It could happen this day. It could happen this other day. Instead of us doing what the J-Dubs are doing, which I hate saying this, Pastor Jason, but the J-Dubs, for those of you that don't know who they are, the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons put Christians to shame when it comes to sharing their God. They're out there sharing their false gospel, but I mean, they believe it so much that they send them two by two. And I see the J-Dubs at supermarkets, at train stations, setting up and talking to people. Where are the Christians? Where? So if we really thought this is going to be so bad, and it is. Mm-hmm. Why aren't we out there sharing Jesus Christ with a bullhorn? There's one guy, he's a Korean dude over here close to a city called, it's in Buena Park. A lot of Korean shops. I love Korean food. Korean food is delicious. That's my plug for Korean food. There is one guy who is there a handful of times a week. He's there with a bullhorn and he's got a sign. He's talking in Korean. So I can't understand what he's saying, but his signs are in English and the flip side in Korean. And he's sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with a bullhorn there on one side of the street. And people just drive by without any care to the message that he is saying. And so let me show you guys. That's why I want to try to give visuals as much as I can. And again, you said you got stung by a wasp, my brother. And let me show you guys. This is a stinger of a wasp, obviously magnified. But I could scroll through here and show everybody what the stinger of a wasp looks like. Again, these are magnified. There's in comparison a wasp to a finger. Won't even fit on your finger. I mean, it's smaller than your fingertip, right? Now, there are different wasps, big ones. And why am I showing this to you guys? Pastor Jason, I'm going to turn it over to you. I want you to reread verses 5 and verse 6. Actually, you know what? I'd love for you to, just read verses 5 and 6, if you don't mind.
And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die and death will flee from them.
Man, you just said something that is one of the biggest truths. And we don't park ourselves to think about these things. It says here, and I still have it up for us to read. And that's why I kind of like to compare things with the Amplified. They were not permitted to kill anyone. I love that. The fact that God has complete control of everything. They were not permitted to kill anyone, but to do what? To torment and cause them what? Extreme pain for 5 months. And their torment, it doesn't say it was the torment of a scorpion. It says was like the torment from a scorpion. It's a comparison, right, Pastor Jason?
Yeah, amen.
What kind of comparison? What do you think that John, what the Revelator here was trying to convey when he said it was like the torment from a scorpion when it stings a man? And his opinion. I mean, we're just conversing here. There's no We're, yeah. we're just kind of talking.
And it maybe it would be good if, just for comparison, if you would actually go out and get stung by a scorpion so you could tell us.
Yeah, no, I'm okay, dude.
I'm just kidding.
You could watch. I'm sure there's somebody on YouTube that has done that already.
There is. Yeah. Now that we're talking about that, I do remember just kind of random off the top of my head, somebody a long time ago describing being stung by a scorpion like a flaming bullet going around and around inside their leg. Like if you can imagine being shot with a bullet and it's on fire and it's inside of you and it's continuing to go around and around. He said that's what it was like to get stung by a scorpion. But I mean, obviously, John's trying to convey via the Holy Spirit, this is going to hurt so bad. It's going to be pain like most of us have never experienced. To me, that's why he repeats the people will seek death. They won't be able to die. They're going to want to die. The part of the judgment is they're not going to be able to die. So imagine pain so bad that you're trying to figure out how to take your own life because it hurts so much and it's so unbearable. But again, part of God's judgment is like, I'm not going to let that happen. You need to go through this. And we know why at the end of chapter 9 is because he wants people to repent, right? That's why. But no, I can't imagine that amount of pain.
No way.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
There's a dude, Jeremiah used to watch this guy. His name is Coyote Peterson. Let me kind of zoom into the guy right there. Coyote Peterson has a YouTube channel, obviously millions of subscribers, and he had a show on TV. He would put himself through stings, and the show was called The Strike Zone. You could see right here. It was called The Strike Zone. And he, in this one episode, season one, episode one, he actually puts himself through the sting of a scorpion.
Wow.
And this guy we've watched, he'll actually put himself through stings of like a giant Japanese hornet. I don't know if you guys know what a giant Japanese hornet looks like. It is massive. It is, the Japanese hornet's got to be like about that big. It's huge. And this guy will literally get stung by these crazy animals. And you should see the way this guy reacts. Obviously, he has a medical team on standby. He's got epinephrine pens and, you know, the hell, and I mean that, the hell this guy puts his body through to demonstrate what some of these insects will do, the way it causes the human body. Not just insects. There's actually plants and flowers that could do that as well. Is insane. So if you guys want to see what it's like, go watch Coyote Peterson's YouTube channel called The Strike Zone. All right, there. That's my plug. You didn't ask me to do it, but I would encourage you guys to do that because you'll get an idea. It's a much better picture when you see someone, you know, writhing on the floor because they're in so much pain. But like we see here in Scripture, in the fifth trumpet, it says they will long to die to do what? To escape their misery, their pain. But they'll discover that death evades them. If you don't mind, Pastor Jason, I'm going to just kind of jump in as if I haven't been, right? I'm going to just jump in here. And Pastor Chuck Smith, if you haven't, I think I have. Oh, right here. Well, let's see. Pastor Jason's kind of covering it up, right? Right. There, right above there. Let me grab it. This is my plug for Calvary Chapel, Pastor Chuck Smith's series. I bought this a while back, and it's this coolest little, it was his Through the Bible. His entire sermon series of the entire Bible is on this little key right here. And when he goes through the book of Revelation and talks about the fifth trumpet, which is what we're talking about, he pauses a bit and he talks about death. We oftentimes don't like talking about death, but death can be a relief, right? For those suffering, death is a relief. But at a moment like this, they're going to seek death. People are, and they're not going to be relieved of it. And let me ask you something. I'm going to go back over to the two of us. Do you think that there will be people in a zombie-like state. Now, when I say zombie-like state, please, folks, don't write in and say, I can't believe you believe that. I'm not talking about flesh-eating weirdies like you see in the movies. I'm talking about living dead people. What is your opinion on that?
Yeah, you mean the ones that get stung, is that going to impact them like that?
I think it says here... They're going to want to die, and they're not going to die. How do you think, like, obviously this is speculation.
Yeah.
We can't be dogmatic about this, but how do you think it's obviously going to be so bad people are going to want to kill themselves for relief?
Could this be a reason why when you get to the end of 9, and we know this from other places in Revelation too, but the end of chapter 9, I'm just verse 21, and they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries, so that's a key word, their sexual immorality or their thefts. Why are they doing sorceries? A couple different applications to that word, but for sure, like street drugs, right? Pharmakeia. Again, we don't need to go deep into that, but for sure it means there's going to be a lot of drug use going on.
Oh, yeah.
Could that result in people doing a ton of drugs and even sexual immorality and all this other stuff to try to get rid of the pain? I mean, and I know that verse is describing the tribulation period at that point. It's saying it's going to be murder, sorcery, sexual immorality, and thefts. But man, I can see, since it's just speculation, I could see people getting hooked on drugs because they're trying to get rid of the pain and they can't die. And so give me whatever you have to try to take away the pain, or trying to get like relieve themselves of it in any which way you could think of, just doing anything to try to lessen the pain. Cause it's hard to even imagine what we're reading here. For five months, they won't be able to. So will they seem like walking zombies? Probably. I mean, that's totally within the realm of possibility for sure. And it seems like it makes sense in this situation too.
Let me just jump in there real quick and say, what is your take on, like, for example, Chuck Smith? I agree with him. I've thought about this many times. They're going to be in so much physical pain to the point where they want to kill themselves. Death will evade them. Mm-hmm. Committing suicide, right? I mean, look at the day and age we live in now, where we have an epidemic, I think, of depression amongst the younger generations. And they'll do anything to commit. I mean, the suicide rate is crazy high because they're depressed. It's not so much. This is more of an emotional anguish. Here we talk about physical pain so bad to the point where they're going to want to do whatever it takes to kill themselves, right? To evade it, to they'd rather die than to live. And I'm thinking, man, these people might take, you know, try to kill themselves with, you know, a gun or drug overdose or jump off of a building or you name it, jump in front of a train, whatever it is. But it says here that death will evade him. When I said this whole zombie thing is, can you imagine people in a mangled state but not dying? They're still very well aware and still suffering. Is that a small glimpse? And here I'm going to throw this back at you. Is that a small glimpse? You know where I'm going with this, right? Of eternity.
I think
in hell?
So, but yeah.
Go ahead. You can elaborate.
It sure
all
seems
you want.
Like it. I mean, going back to what you said, I think when you had that alien picture up, if we really believe this is where people are going to end up, and it's going to be anything like the fifth trumpet, like this, then yeah, we got to get the gospel out. No, I totally agree. Most of the tribulation, I mean, let me say it like this. All of the tribulation period to me is a picture of hell, and it gets worse as you go along, right? As you get closer to the final judgment, it looks more and more like hell, I think. So is this a glimpse of hell? Yes, I think it is. And as you were talking, I was thinking, man, the now and then there will only be one way to, you know, get rid of the pain, in quotes, then and now maybe that the pain is different, but the only way to get rid of the pain is going to be with a relationship through Jesus Christ. And like you said before, if we really, really believe in a pre-tribulational rapture and this is what the Bible teaches and we're passionate about it and we're saying, hey, watch and be ready, right? Pay attention to what's going going on in the world around us, and look for the signs, right? We're watching, we're seeing the day approaching, and we're totally seeing the day approaching, right? Hebrews chapter 10. One of the effects of that has to be that we're sharing the gospel, right? If I'm a pre-tribulation viewpoint and I'm not sharing the gospel and I'm not living a holy life and I'm not saying we're perfect. We're not perfect, yeah. But I'm saying, am I setting the standard high for myself, for character, yep, in my life, seeking accountability for my brothers in Christ? And again, am I getting the gospel out? If it's not resulting in those two things, or at least a sincere attempt at those two things, then something's wrong. Something's off. It's gotta result in that. And like we were talking before, it's every day. I love the pre-tribulation view. I'm 100% sold that that's what the Bible teaches. The more I study it, the more convinced I am. I'm like, Lord, this is the only way. That the other ways don't make sense. The pre-trib view makes sense. But if I'm, as I'm convinced of that, I'm living every single day like it's the day Jesus is going to come back. I mean, that's the best way to live, right? I mean, because if I'm doing that, it should result in sharing the gospel, holy living, and I'm about my Father's business, right? I'm not wasting time. So whatever I'm doing when Jesus comes back, you know, he's going to be like, well done, good and faithful servant. That's the mentality, right? I know we're not perfect. I know everybody has bad days, but I'm saying if you hold that view, and the reason I'm kind of bringing this up is because what bothers me and annoys me a little is when people have a problem with the pre-trib view because they say, well, you're just an escapist, and it leads to people. I've heard one or two people at least say it can lead to laziness as a Christian because you're just sitting there waiting for Jesus to return. You're not doing anything. Yeah. And it's like, if I'm correctly interpreting the Bible, historical, grammatical, verse by verse, if I'm correctly interpreting it, it should be the opposite of that.
That's right.
The pre-trib view should be, I got to be ready. And so whatever I'm doing, trying to get a bunch of thoughts out in
go for it, dude.
Like, so if you're in the, so another question would be, well, hey, I feel like I'm called to be a pastor or be a leader in ministry or do this next thing that's going to require a lot of training or maybe something that's going to require time. And you're looking at the world going, I think Jesus is coming back before then.
Yeah.
Let me say this on that, because I think that's a legitimate thing concern people are dealing with right now.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you rather have Christ return and find you in the process of doing what he called you to do than not doing it at all?
That's right.
So if he comes back and you're in the school of ministry, even though you're not graduated yet and you didn't get ordained as a pastor or whatever it is that you're going for, wouldn't you rather have Christ come back and find you doing it? And he knows all things, right? He knows how well you would have done in the ministry had he not returned. So wouldn't you rather have him come back and say, hey, good job. You were taking the step. You didn't get to complete it, but great, great job. You were prepared for that. So I hope this isn't too far off. I think you started with, is this a picture of hell, right? And to me, it totally is. And hopefully that will, let me throw this in there too. I will shamelessly continue to plug Pablo's The Serpents and Doves cards. He brought up the cards, right? We ordered some cards for our church. We have them out at our church, and I love that they have his website on there, but I also love that on the back of the cards that you can see on the website, it has the gospel. And so to me, I think I have one in my wallet right now. Let's see if I can pull it out. But here's why I'm saying this. It's a simple, quick way. I don't know if that's...
There you go. Yeah.
So there's the gospel right there. So I love it because it fits with all my other cards in my wallet. And it's a quick way to share the gospel. Like that. So if you're nervous about doing that, order some of those cards. It's got the gospel on there. That's a good way to start, at least begin sharing your faith. If you're like, yeah, well, I'm shy, I don't know if I can do that. Well, hey, can you get a serpent's dove card that has the gospel and hand that out to somebody? Because I think anybody can do that. So anyways, yeah, I went way too long on that.
No, you didn't. No, no, you did not. Nope. No such thing as going way too long. Trust me, man. I'd rather listen to you than to hear me talk. So, but that's the thing. We're just having these conversations where we lay things out. And I always have to say, listen, sometimes we can be dogmatic about things in Scripture because it's spelled out crystal clear in Scripture. So we could say, thus says the Lord in the Word of God, period. No, we can't add to it. We can't take away. We can't. What I mean by that is there are some places where we just cannot be dogmatic about things. There's quite a few places where the Bible is not crystal clear. And so, for example, as we're talking about this, we don't know how this is going to roll out, right? You and I, the last podcast we did, talked about the gap period. Is that going to be, some believe it's going to be 2 months. Some believe it's going to be a week. Some believe, like myself, it's going to be at least 3.5 years. There are those that think it's going to be a year. We can't be dogmatic about that. I'm not going to be dogmatic because the Bible is unclear as to that. It's not crystal clear. And so where the Bible is silent about certain issues, you know what? We can't sit here and go, this is the way that it's going to be, because that's just not it. We cannot do that. And so as we're talking about these things, we're just throwing out thoughts, right? We all, as we're reading Scripture, we think about these things. Does the Bible tell us what these demons are going to look like? Yeah, it does. It says it right here. It says it starting in verse 7, the locusts resembled horses prepared and equipped for battle, and on their heads appeared to be something like golden crowns. So it goes through the entire description. But one thing that we know for sure when we're looking at these two trumpets specifically is that the fifth trumpet is led by one called, and we see it here in verse 11, Apollyon. It means destroyer king, whatever it is here in the Amplified. His name is Apollyon in the Greek, Abaddon, which means destruction in Hebrew. So here we have, and we're going to move on now. So here we have, this is just, folks, listen, this is just one period, one trumpet, one judgment of 21, right? Because we got the seven seals, we got the seven trumpets, we've got the seven bowls. And then we have the seven thunders, case in point. We don't know what they are. Bible doesn't tell us. We have no clue. So I'm not even going to try and pretend to even know, right? We just don't. So let's just leave it at that, period. Because your guess is as good as mine, and they're probably both wrong anyways. So at the end of the day, here we have the sixth trumpet, the fifth trumpet, which is horrendous. I mean, we literally just laid things out. We took about 30 minutes, maybe more like 25, to literally just talk about the fifth trumpet. And we could spend how many podcasts, Pastor Jason, literally just talking about so much in this one. Tons, right?
You could just take chapter 9 and break that up into at least 4 weeks of teaching, and you can break it down even more than that for sure. Yeah. It would take, we could do it over and over if we wanted to. So
we totally could. Now, as we said in the beginning, Pastor Jason, that the 200, and we're getting to that right now. So that was trumpet number 5. Horrible, horrendous. We got a dude, bad dude named Abaddon. He's going to be the leader. The guy that is going to unlock, here's something else. Let me just, before we move on. We know that, for example, in the story of the demoniac at the Gadarenes, right? The demons said that they didn't want to be tormented before their time, and they asked Jesus to be cast where?
Into the pigs, swine.
Into the pigs, swine. So just right off of the bat, just with that right there, we know that demons can inhabit possess a human body as well as an animal body, right? I mean, Mm-hmm. There's no debate there.
Amen.
So we know that there is going to be a time where these demons will be tormented, right? Some believe that the abyss is a place where demons are being there held in judgment before they're all thrown into the lake of fire, right? Mm-hmm. But here we have a picture, Pastor Jason, of Abaddon, who has the key, right? It says in the very beginning that that star had fallen from heaven to the earth, and the key, having the key to the bottomless pit, was given to him, and he opened up the bottomless pit. These demons that are here that we're seeing in the fifth trumpet. Okay, folks, look. If you think that it is bad now, and again, I can't state this or stress this enough. If you guys think that things are bad now, think of Israel. And I've not talked about Israel much because I just haven't felt led. Not that I'm totally support Israel. I just haven't talked about Israel. Because there are other guys like Amir, and you got other great guys like Olivier Melnick who are talking about these things. And I think, you know what? If there's anybody that has the right to talk about this firsthand are Amir and Olivier and so many others. So, but with that said, Pastor Jason, how bad was the atrocities that these demons in flesh committed, man?
It's hard to talk about. I mean, and I intentionally didn't watch a lot of the videos because it's disturbing. I know it is. And I've seen some, and I saw enough and I read enough to know, you know, it makes you sick to your stomach that people can actually do this. And, you know, we understand why, if you listen to some of Amir's teachings on what Islam is and how they're trained and what, like, why they think this way and why there is no reasoning with these guys. Like, you can't sit down and negotiate. You cannot negotiate with them. They have to be eliminated or saved by the blood of Christ. There's no middle ground on that. But yeah, to put it politely, it's disturbing to think about what they did to women, children, elderly, and babies. I mean, I don't know how much detail you want to go into that. I tend to hold back to just respect people. If they want to know, they can. The videos are out there, and it's, to say the least, man, disturbing. So I think your point, though, are you connecting that with, hey, and let me. I think I already know where you're going. It's about demons, right? So
that's
like,
right.
When I was watching one of the videos of, it was after the hospital attack, and then you know. Everybody said it was Israel, but right off the bat, within an hour, I think Amir was like, listen, you guys, this was not Israel. Here are the videos. Here's the, it was in Israel. And he, right off the bat, he showed the receipts to say it was their own misfire that hit the hospital parking lot. But still, everybody, Israel did this, Israel did this. And so you had riots all around the Middle East and even worldwide. There were riots because they thought Israel attacked a hospital with one of their missiles. I was watching a video and I can't remember which country it was in, but it was a quick short clip. Amir posted it. And one of the guys in there is yelling, Allahu Akbar, you know, screaming it as loud as he can. And the first thought that came into my head was, that's a demon right there.
Yeah.
Not that it was the man himself, but in my head, I'm like, that guy 100% is demon possessed. Like, just the way he was yelling it and screaming it and how much hatred and anger, it was inhuman. It was not, it was, in my mind, I was just like, whoa, dude, that dude's straight demon possessed. It's completely demonic. So,
And you know what, you're absolutely 100% right. And so my point is that as bad as we know that what they did was demonic at its core. Like, you guys think about, like you said, the images, the videos, the write-ups, think about the pain these families, the victims are going through right now. Still, all of that pales in comparison to the fact that there are demons that are locked up in the abyss waiting just to be unlocked to go wreak hell on the earth, according to what we read here in Revelation chapter 9 under the fifth trumpet. And I always say, listen, folks, you don't have to be here for that. You don't have to be here. And we'll get to the best part of this whole talk because it could be depressing. But let me just say this. We're not at the rapture yet, and there is still time to come to Jesus Christ. Why would you wait to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? Let me even say this much. If you cannot surrender your life to Jesus Christ on this side of the rapture when there is minimal to no persecution, at least in the West, how on earth are you going to surrender to Jesus Christ when on the flip side of the rapture, it's going to be either turn and accept their ways, the globalist way, and eventually the mark, or it's your head or your life or torture, whatever it is. Don't be stupid. I mean, seriously, you have to be stupid to want to do that. And we read it here at the end of this chapter. So, Pastor Jason, you know what? Let's just move on. And I know I've kind of maybe overstayed my welcome here on the fifth trumpet, but I just want to make sure that, folks, you understand how bad things are going to be. And don't think that it's just going to get bad here at the fifth trumpet. We're already at trumpet five. You've got 4, 3, 2, 1, and all the seals. Right? Darkness so dark that people gnaw on their tongues. I mean, it gets nasty. It gets bad. So the sixth trumpet, we don't have to go through the whole thing, but why don't you read verses 13 through 16? Just three verses from chapter 9.
Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them.
Okay. 200 million, right? We don't read anywhere here that these are men, right, Pastor Jason?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Amen.
So let me just throw it over to you. Talk to us. Talk to us about this. Just walk us through this.
You mentioned it already a few times. The leaders seem to be demons, right? The sixth trumpet is, hey, release the four angels who are bound at the Euphrates River. So why are those demons? Because why would holy angels be bound, right? It seems more in line that they're demons and they're leading this army. So it seems like, hey, this is a demonic army led by demons, not necessarily men. Also, this one's more kind of just like, it could go either way, but just take the number 200 million and think that through logically. And I know this isn't like a slam dunk. This destroys the other side. It doesn't. And it's possible that 200 million men can form an army. China said, has said, I think back in the 70s or 60s that they could produce a 200 million man army. But I want to, just to get a reference of how big that is, let me just throw a few things out there, if that's okay.
Sure. Yeah, go for it.
And I just, you study, you read, and so thinking back to World War II, at the height of World War II, the top number of total soldiers in World War II was 70 million, right?
Yeah.
So that's all the whole world combined, world militaries combined. And I just grabbed some stats real quick from 2022. Like, here's the top five militaries in the world, their current numbers or relatively current numbers. China has about 2 million, India 1.5 million, United States 1.4 million, North Korea 1.2 million, Russia 830,000. Again, I think since then they've gone up, especially now since it's like wartime almost numbers, but still they're relatively close to those numbers. And so if you add up the top five militaries in the world right now, it only comes to 7 million soldiers. And I know you can quickly increase those numbers by reserve troops, and you could do a draft and quickly increase them, but seven is far away from 200, right?
Sure.
Just to get to that number would take a lot. If you add up the top 10 militaries in the world right now, you only come out to 9.9 million troops. That's top 10, right? Yep. And so you would have to come up with 190 more million more soldiers, sure, fighting age males to be in the militaries at that time. So again, I'm not saying it's impossible to do that, and I'm not saying that that's, you know, a 100% slam dunk argument against it. I'm just saying to organize and move and you know, feed and clothe 200 million men, sure, would be difficult. Maybe we'll leave it at that. It would be hard, not impossible, improbable for sure. What are your thoughts on the logistics of it?
Okay, so let me read real quick right here. So Brad Myers, great friend, amazing researcher. Brad Myers texted me, we were discussing this issue, and he said this quote, according to worldatlas.com, folks, if you want to go to worldatlas.com, let me show you what it actually looks like. This is worldatlas.com. You can actually just select any of these regions of the globe. Let's go to Asia, and it will give you all kinds of facts. You could kind of see right here. It gives you statistics, geography, history, all kinds of cool things, right? But, and I'll let you guys go over here and check this out. But according to, let me read what Brad wrote, or Brother Brad. He said, according to worldatlas.com, quote, the following countries are considered to be located in the Far East: China, Hong Kong, Macau, Japan, North Korea, South Korea, Mongolia, Siberia, Taiwan, Brunei, Cambodia, East Timor, Malaysia, Laos, Indonesia, 1, 2, 3, 4, five more. So, there's five more countries: Philippines, Vietnam, Thailand, a couple more. He said, if you include the entire list of countries, their armies in the Far East with the kings of the East, it does not come anywhere near or close to even 20 million, let alone 200 million. And so what Brad was saying, and this was a while back, maybe 2-3 weeks ago, goes in line exactly with what you're saying in the statistics you're reading. Even if you were to add them all up, if you had a draft and they had to pull them all up, you wouldn't get anywhere near 200 million man army. So just based on that right there in and of itself, the numbers just don't add up. They just don't add up. You know what I mean? So let me just bring this up real quick. Sorry for the close-up, folks, but for some reason the camera decided not to focus, and maybe that's a good thing. There we go. But let me just go ahead and say this. If we take a look at what, and let me go over here, and there's a point to what I'm going to say here, so just kind of bear with me. If we go over here and look at a Roman legion, right? At the time, the Romans were the big dudes on the block. A Roman legion, and it says right here, Roman legion, the largest military unit of the Roman army, comprised 4,200 infantry and, where to say, I don't know, how do you even say that? Cavalry, I guess, right? Yeah. From equestrian, 300. In the period of the Roman Republic, and 5,600 infantry, and then you had 200 auxiliary in the period of the Roman Empire from these days to this date. So if we were to kind of just take let's go median between 4,200 and 5,600, right? I don't know. What are we looking at there? 1,400. So maybe 4,800 in a legion. Do you remember, again, going back to the story of the Jesus when he approaches, he goes to the region of the Gadarenes and the demoniac?
Yeah.
When Jesus asks him, what is your name? What was his name?
Yeah. Legion. Yeah.
And he said,
Legion, for we are many, right? So
in one dude, you had at least 4,200 demons. At least 4,200 demons. It says the guy was so strong, they couldn't shackle him because he would break the shackles off. Right? Mm-hmm. And so why would it be so difficult for us to think that we have more than 200 million demons that could just come up like that? Right? Again, we don't think about these things. We don't think about the hosts. So we have the heavenly hosts. We have the two-thirds that did not rebel. Right, Pastor Jason? But we have how many did rebel?
One-third.
One-third. Do we see here? Okay, here's another place where we can be dogmatic. Does it say anywhere in Scripture, Pastor Jason, does it give us a number of what that total amount of heavenly hosts, angelic hosts were?
No, I've heard some interesting calculations, but you can't nail anything down.
There's no way. So we don't know, right? At least here in one dude, you had 4,200 demons. Here we have in Revelation chapter 9, the sixth trumpet, you have an army of 200 million demons. And again, they're led by what? They're led by four demons, right? And what I find interesting, and let me ask you, again, I want to turn this over to you. I know we're running out of time, and I want you to share the gospel because you got to get rolling, and I want to respect your time. So last question I'm going to say, these guys are not going to come to play fair, right?
Amen.
What are they going to come to do?
You know, destroy people. What does Satan want to do? He wants to destroy what God loves. When you were talking about some of that, I was, I'm sorry, specifically, you're right. Kill one third of mankind. A third. So you already had a fourth of mankind killed in the seal judgments, right? And now you got a third. So a huge, that to me, as I was thinking about a fourth plus a third, and you have at least half of the population on the earth killed during the tribulation period, for sure after the sixth trumpet, and even more than that because of all the other judgments that are happening. People are dying from those as well. That brings doesn't that bring the military numbers down even more? What I'm saying? Like now you have even less people if it's if it's not a demon army, you have even less people to fill those military positions. It just, again, not a for sure thing, but it just leans more toward the evidence of it looks like these are demons instead of people.
100%. 100%.
But they're going to kill a third of mankind. I was thinking, I'm kind of going back a little. No, we don't have much time, but we'll get through it. When you were talking about Legion in the guy of the Gadarenes, and just the strength of demons, my pastor told us a few stories in Bible college. He had interactions with demons a few different times over his years in ministry. Not a whole bunch, but he has a handful of stories of demon-possessed people, you know, demonic entities, but demon-possessed people as well. And he said one of the things that you got to be careful of, or one of the things that he noticed is that the strength that people have when they are demon possessed. And so because they're, because of the strength, you have to deal with them in a wise way. And here's what he said. He said, and I think he just says this from experience. I don't know if I can nail down chapter and verse on this, but just from experiencing it, he said, you never lay hands on them first, as far as getting physical with them. He said, the idea was if you if they're antagonizing you or something and you grab them and try to, manhandle them a little bit or something like that, then it's on. And that's when you kind of open the door for Satan to, or for that demon to use his strength on you. But if you stay calm and you stay in the spirit and you continue to rebuke it in Jesus' name and you, you wait, you don't put hands on first. He's like, that's the biblical way to do it.
That's right.
There was a guy, a pastor at one of the big churches my pastor was a pastor at. He's like, he was in counseling somebody. I think it was like a 16-year-old kid in the office. He was counseling them and they were outside of the office and they kept hearing this like banging on the door. And they're like, you know, what's so-and-so doing in there? Is he hanging pictures or what's going on? And I guess that the kid ended up being demon possessed. Again, it was a 16-year-old kid, whatever. And the pastor tried to, like, you know, I don't know, grab him right here or something. And that initiated it. And so they eventually, the other pastors said, we should go check on it. And they opened the door and looked, and the kid had he's a full grown man up against the wall, like slamming him up against the wall.
Wow.
Totally demon possessed. Just basically throwing the guy around. There's a few other stories, and we don't have time. I'll do a real quick summary right now, where there's, were women that were demon possessed that he had contact with. And one of them, you know, small lady, maybe 100 pounds. He said small, short lady. And she grabbed her, it was either her boyfriend her husband at the time, it grabbed him, spun him around. And I guess he was 6'1", 200 or so. And she just grabbed him, spun him around and picked him up and put him up against the wall. Not that those things are funny, but it's the supernatural interacting with people. Is there is a lot of demonic strength there. And so that, and let me throw this thing in there too. That they're doing those things now, with the restrainer here, with God, only allowing them to do certain things, right? He's not going to let them do whatever they want, but they want to scare us and hurt us. But imagine what is going to happen. How much strength and power are they going to have with no restrainer, no Holy Spirit working through the church like he does today, and God allowing them to do this, because this is part of his plan. It's going to be off the charts. But go ahead. No.
You know what? I agree with you 100%. The strength that you see now, exactly with what you said, is going to be off the charts with the way things are going to be on the flip side of the rapture. And I want to close with this, and I think it's a perfect time to close. If we go back to that part in Scripture, if we go back to the very, very end of chapter 9, and then I'm going to turn it over to you. As bad as everything was, as bad as we just tried our best in the amount of time we had to lay things out and show you guys how ugly and how terrible things are going to be, and the antidote, quote unquote, to this is to cry out, Abba, Father, forgive me. I've sinned against you. Please, Jesus, take over. I surrender my life to you. Come into my life. Right? That's not what we get at the end of verse 21. Why don't you read verse 21 again? And I'm going to say something, and then I'm going to turn it over to you.
Can I? I know.
Yeah, no. Like, just jump
in. I had one more thing on 20.
Dude, 20 and 21. Go for it, by all means.
20 says, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons. I just want to stop right there and make a really quick point.
Yeah, please.
I was reading that and thinking, that's another, just a little question I had, like, could it be the reason that they wouldn't repent is because they worship demons, and these actually are 200 million demons, and that's why they won't repent. Because why? Because they worship demons. That's the first
thing.
I know that's not, anyway, to me, that's another little evidence you would add on top of the pile of the other stuff and go.
No, I totally agree.
That's the first thing he mentions as, hey, they were hard-hearted, they wouldn't repent. Why? They worship demons. That's why. Verse 21, it says, and they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts.
That's right. Yep, absolutely. So listen, folks, one thing that I just want to say, and, you know, please forgive if you guys hear the lawnmower. It is what it is. So too bad. So hopefully the noise gate will catch it. But anyways, listen, the fact of the matter is that you could see in verse 21, they did not repent of their murders. Obviously, things got really, they've gotten really bad. That's something else we need to keep in mind, because there's no repenting of what they've done, or their sorceries or their sexual immorality. So we see things getting bad right now. Ooh, things are just going to get exponentially worse. And if I just go over here to Strong's, and let me see if I could go to the bottom. You guys can't see the word. I'll go ahead and try get that up. That is where we get our word pharmakeia. Right? And we see a whole lot of what's happening. What's interesting, folks, if you look right in the middle of the screen, it says magic, literal or figurative, sorcery, witchcraft. Interesting that drug use and sorcery are tied hand in hand. And I'm going to just show this and turn it over to you, brother. Sorcery, what is it? It is the use of supernatural power over others through the assistance of spirits and witchcraft, divination, casting lots, and all of that stuff. And so what we essentially have right now is we have this activity just going through the roof, and it's only going to get a whole lot worse. But as bad as things are, Pastor Jason, people don't have to be here for that. And I want to turn it over to you because the best news, the best part of this entire podcast is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is Amen. The escape clause, should you, right? And I want you to just expound on that and tell people and share the gospel and the hope that is found only in Jesus Christ. Go for it, brother.
And it is an escape clause, but the awesome part is it's also a relationship clause. Like, it's not just that we get out, but it's that we get to enjoy Jesus forever in relationship with him and be made right before our creator, God, the true God of the Bible. And so, amen. As we go forward from here going forward, really from a long time ago going forward, but from here going forward, the world that we live in is only going to look more like the tribulation period. So as we get closer to the tribulation period, the world's going to look more like chapter 9, verse 21, which it's described there. And so it's the world is bad, but God is good. And yeah, we want to take advantage of the escape clause, the relationship clause, the cross of Jesus Christ. He came and lived a perfect life 2,000 years ago. He died on the cross in our place, that we wouldn't have to go to hell or go through hell on earth, right? This 7-year period is going to be hell on earth. So if you're watching this, if, you're hearing us talk today and or maybe you even just turn to the video right now and you're just kind of seeing the end of it. So maybe you fast forwarded through it and are at the end for some reason. Listen, good. You came to the best part of it. The Bible says that
that's right.
We are all sinners. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. Pablo and I are sinners. We all are. There's nobody on this earth that's perfect. That's what it means. Sin means to fall short of God's standard of perfection. We're all sinners. Our sin separates us from a holy, righteous God, right? It means we, in our position of sin, we are in a position of hell, right? We deserve hell. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And that if we confess him with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. And so the answer is Jesus. The hope we have is Jesus. And I pray that if you're already a follower of Jesus watching this, this would be encouraging to you. The gospel would encourage you to know that, look, your Savior is going to come for you before the tribulation period. And at that point, we're going to be with him forever. And so be encouraged. If you're not a follower of Christ, if you're watching this and you're like, man, I agree, I am a sinner, and I want my sins forgiven. I want to know that I'm going to go to heaven when I die. If you want to be made right before God, again, the Bible says, admit that you're a sinner, confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. For anybody that calls upon his name can be saved. And so if you want to say, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, I believe in Jesus, if you want to surrender your life to Jesus right now, I just want to invite you to pray this prayer. Just right where you're sitting, wherever, whenever you're watching this, please pray this prayer. And again, maybe you're watching this after the rapture. Maybe a bunch of people just disappeared from this planet. Listen, we're in heaven with Jesus, and you can be there too when you die. And so please pray this prayer from your heart to God. Just bow your head, close your eyes, and say, Dear Heavenly Father, God, I'm a sinner. I've made mistakes, Lord. I've done wrong things. But I believe Jesus is my Savior. I believe Jesus lived a perfect life. I believe Jesus is God in the flesh. And I believe he died on the cross for my sins. Please come into my heart, come into my life, and be my Lord and be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That was amazing. And family, listen, if you prayed that, please let Pastor Jason know, let myself know, either one of us. You could email us. Again, the links to the websites are below. I hope you guys were blessed, challenged, encouraged. Things are getting ugly, but for the believer, things are getting so encouraging and hopeful, right? And there is evil fatigue going on, but take heed that the Lord sees all things and he knows. And for us, those that are in Christ, it's literally any moment where that trump is going to sound. And so please don't put that decision off to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. Do not do it. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off for tomorrow because you don't know what tomorrow holds. All right. So Pastor Jason, my brother, thanks again so, so much for coming on. Love you, brother.
Amen.
We're
going
to have to do this again
me.
Soon. Yeah. So until the next time, family, hope you guys were blessed once again. We'll be seeing you. Keep looking up, all right? See ya.